The Housing Agency will hold its annual conference tomorrow in Croke Park. The focus of the conference is future-proofing housing. At a time when homelessness is higher than ever before, mortgages set to rise, rental accommodation increasingly expensive, and some rural housing estates go vacant while housing developments are stalled, we'll hear what some of the solutions might be. With me in studio, David Silk, who's the Director of Research at the Housing Agency, and Dr. Brian Hughes, who is a consultant in urban economics and demographics. You're very welcome to the show, gentlemen. I'll go to you first of all, David. The Housing Agency was set up to tackle this, and the crisis is as bad as it has ever been. What progress have we actually made?
We've made a lot of progress over the last couple of years, and the conference is coming at a time when we're marking the first year of Rebuilding Ireland, which is the strategy which I suppose is working on all of those issues that you outlined in your introduction around homelessness and mortgage arrears and getting the building sector going again. Progress has been made, particularly in the rental sector, for example, in terms of trying to look at the affordability there in the rental sector. The housing supply is beginning to develop again and come back to a more normal level. It's not there yet. Our conference is going to focus in on what we need in the next sort of 10, 15, 20 years. So in the more intermediate, longer term, so that we can sort of work towards that longer vision.
Long visions are great. Big fan of long visions. When the Housing Agency was set up, it was set up with an emergency in mind. I have to put it to you, you haven't tackled that emergency. We may have a lot of houses in the future. We don't have enough now. Yeah, the Housing Agency had a chance to grasp the nettle here and didn't do it.
Well, some of the issues which the Housing Agency identified back in 2014 were very informative in terms of the policies that we have now. For example, we focused in on the efficient use of our current housing stock. So before then, there was a lot of emphasis on just building new homes, whereas we sort of said, look, what about the existing stock? And local authorities now have each year are bringing more than 2,500 units back into use which were vacant. So that's a very concrete advantage for people looking on a social housing waiting list.
One element, and telling local authorities to do the job they should have been doing isn't exactly revolutionary.
Well, it's also getting the funding to go with that to make sure that local authorities have the funding available to do the work to make sure that the houses are up to the standards that people expect now.
There are reports that there's some 23,000 homes in Dublin that have yet to begin construction, yet they have planning permission, Brian. Does that highlight the real issue here, which is that nobody wants to build houses at the moment?
Well, building houses, of course, has to be profitable because builders and developers won't build. The banks won't fund, and everything will just go AWOL unless building is profitable.
Where is the challenge in getting houses built right now?
Unlocking the funds, getting bank lending, mezzanine finance, and also skills-based, because with the collapse of the building industry in 2007, 8 and 9, a lot of the building operatives and builders themselves and professional teams left Ireland. There was no work for them. The industry just collapsed. So it's in trying to attract them back to try and carry out profitable development. That's the challenge.
And how do we go about doing that? Is that done at a governmental level? Because every time government tries to interfere in the housing market, it makes matters worse. They introduced a scheme to try and incentivise people to buy homes. That didn't work. They're rescinding that. They tried to put a cap on rents. That didn't work. Rents continue to rise. It's like they can't enter the fray without coming back out with egg all over their face.
That is true, but there are a number of challenges getting planning permission and all the other permissions that are needed, finding the finance, and building in the right locations, and also having regard to the forthcoming national planning framework. These are all the challenges that are faced.
You guys are experts in this field. I'm not. I'm an idiot who reads the newspapers and forms opinions on a bar stool. What it seems to me is that we have created a system that has so many layers built into it, that has so many people that something has to be passed by before a decision is made or a block is laid in the ground, that we keep coming back around on ourselves when we thought we'd made a decision. And nothing has improved in that regard. In fact, it's only after getting worse in the last while. Am I wrong?
No, I think by the end of 2017, we will see considerable progress in the number of housing completions compared with previous years. But it's starting from a very low base. And so because building construction takes such a long time, it'll be quite a while before the figures come up to the levels that are necessary. Some people feel that, for instance, we need 25,000 units a year. I personally feel we need somewhere close to twice that. And getting it up to that level is the conundrum with all the challenges.
David?
Well, equally in getting it back up, it's really important that we build the right type of housing in the right places for the right types of households, the right household sizes. In the past, we built houses in towns and villages where they weren't needed, and we've spent the last 3 or 4 years trying to deal with that problem as well.
But the problem is that we need houses now in Dublin. There are brownfield sites to beat the band. There's loads of locations we could be building houses, yet nothing's happening.
Lots of things are happening. The building industry in Dublin is beginning to pick up now, and we will see a lot more output over the next couple of years. And Brian is right, it does take time for the sector to get back up and running again. But what I'm saying is it's really important that we do that in a controlled way and make sure that we're building the right types of properties, because we're really building homes for people that will be there for 100, 200 years.
The problem being, though, that we are not doing it quickly enough. Do we just have to accept that this isn't going to happen quickly? That we are going to have to, in a decade's time, look back and see the fruits of the housing agency's work, or indeed all the other state agencies involved in this, and that we are on a fool's errand if we think we're going to get a quick win here?
It certainly will take time. It's a very, very complex system in terms of finance, in terms of planning, in terms of construction technology, in terms of matching what you're building with what the longer term requirements are. And that's what our conference is kind of trying to draw attention to, that we need to build not just for the current population, but the future population as well.
Years ago, I had a conversation with somebody who was involved in a charity that was involved in suicide prevention. And he made the point that there are so many different agencies involved in suicide prevention that they're all trying to preach similar messages but not the same, and there's no one body who speaks up for suicide prevention. As a result of that, nothing is being done. Are we doing the same with housing now, that we've loads of different people who are saying, this is what we need to do, no, this is what we need to do, I like your idea but I want to do it slightly differently?
No, strategy formulation is there, and there is the new minister.
An entire housing plan that has been ripped up and they're starting it again?
Well, I don't think they're starting it again. I think they're reviewing it, and I think that's the right thing to do. It's been there for a year now. It has achieved a great deal in terms of trying to stabilise things and to try and get things moving again. We now need to review that and make sure that we don't just follow it blindly.
The road to hell is paved with reviews, though, and I'm not accusing you of Anthony David, but we love a review in this country. Nothing gives us more satisfaction than taking on a review rather than dealing with the issue.
I think we are dealing with the issue in terms of getting the system working again. What's important is that we don't just lose sight of that, because what we're trying to do is eventually get a functioning market, a balance between supply and demand, where we have a similar number of houses and apartments being developed as are required and in the places we need them.
A listener has made a point, David, very similar to what you were saying. I'm with David Silk, who's the Director of Research for the Housing Agency, and Dr. Brian Hughes, who is an urban economics and demographic consultant. It's all very well and good to say we need 25,000 houses a year, but it's the kind of housing being built. In Dublin, they're back building townhouses and small terraced housing with small square footage and tiny back gardens, and the number of apartments being built seems ridiculously high. This seems to be all about developers making a profit off the land sale but not thinking about what they're providing future families with.
Well, actually, as it happens, that's one of the topics that we'll be looking at tomorrow. We have 9 different roundtables looking at different themes, and one of them is about apartment living, because in the housing agency we recognise that if people are living in urban areas, we need to have a more dense development, and that means apartments, and that they're kind of new for Ireland.
But people think of apartments and they think of the ugly square block. It doesn't have to be.
They don't have
the
to be like that.
Block.
No, I mean, and they don't have to be high either. You can have density without having height, for example.
There's lots of good examples around the place, really, though, isn't there, Brian? When you look about apartments, you know, we got into a phase where we built duplexes. Now, duplexes aren't ideal either, but you can have a mixed development, maybe with a few duplexes, maybe a block on the end, and that's sustainable for the future.
What has been very successful on the continent are double duplexes, where the ground floor duplex would have a small garden and the top duplex would have a roof garden. And that seems to work very, very well.
But people will say, well, that's not suitable for a family.
Well, there are people returning to Ireland with families, and I understand that they are happy to live in apartments because they've got used to apartments. And there are some very successful apartment developments going up at the moment. Cosgrave Development in Dunleary on the former golf club site is an excellent example, and a very dynamic development going on there.
Why, and this fascinates me every time I drive through an urban centre in this country, be it a big town or a city, you look above the shop where in London or Birmingham or Manchester there are people living very happily. They might have a studio apartment or they might have a very nice home. You look above the shop here in Ireland and there's nothing. There's a window that hasn't been washed in about 20 years, and I'd say no one has set foot on the floor in about 20 years.
Yes, the average town in Ireland has a large number of vacant shops at the moment. My suggestion is that the shops should be clustered close to each other, and that the secondary areas should be converted, top and both the ground floor and the upper floors, to form units. Living over the shop has been tried, and there are some successful examples, although they haven't proved to be very popular.
What about towns that are dying? And the argument has been made very regularly, David, that you go to rural Ireland, maybe the west of Ireland in particular suffers from this, where there might have been a row of shops with indeed people living over them quite successfully for decades. Shop closes, property becomes vacant. Nobody wants to live there. Town dies. How do we deal with that?
Yeah, and I'm from a rural area myself, and I would have, you know, experience of those types of towns where one by one the shops close down as people retire and so on. We do need a strategy to deal with rural regeneration in the same way as we have them for urban regeneration. And those towns can be fantastic in terms of quality of life for people if we can encourage people to live there.
Tom in Kildare says the banks are still not lending. That's the problem. Why is there so much blockage to system built or timber houses? Is there a blockage to system built or timber houses? Do we not want to build that type of house here?
It's not really proven here, although there are four Chinese factories in Britain building, churning out system-built
houses. So these are ready-made houses?
Yeah.
I saw a 3D designed, 3D printed house that looked exceptionally nice being built as a model somewhere in Europe recently. The cost of land and planning contributions still way too expensive, so a completed house will be too expensive for middle-income people. Today, so many chiefs, plans, rules, taxes and blockages to home building, but the ever-increasing bureaucracy is cushily ensconced, which I think is my point. Brian says the reason there's a shortage of skilled construction workers is that no subbies want to work for the large companies. We're fed up being burned by these large firms. New legislation is needed to protect subbies from the current practice of screwing the subcontractor. And that's a challenge, isn't it? Because a lot of people will have been burnt working for companies in the past, ended up not being paid for work that they did.
Yeah, everything really collapsed in 2008, 2009. And builders and developers got burnt as well, not just the employees. Everybody got stuck.
Mm. Apartments can be three bed with storage. The Irish dig boxes are not apartments. Do we have a problem with the definition of apartment here? Because there are some apartments, and I remember when I was looking for my first place years ago, like 700 square foot was a two bedroom apartment, and you could barely swing a cat in the living room.
Yeah, there's lots that can happen in the kind of apartment part of our construction industry. We need to think of apartments as part of the whole complex and area that they're situated in. So if you have an apartments that are for families, you need to have good public facilities around the apartments, parks, swimming pools,
and Trevor
cinemas,
makes the
shops.
Point as well, apartment living in Ireland is horrific. You're at the hands of a management company all the time. No pets, no drying clothes in the balcony, no satellite dishes, no vans parked outside. We didn't get that right. We didn't think that through at all, really, did we, Brian?
Yeah, management is quite a complex system, and maybe there hasn't been the experience, the depth of experience in management, because apartments in Ireland, really, managed apartments only started really about 20, 25 years ago, and we're still tinkering around with it.
Apartments, still going on about apartments. In fact, James in Kilkenny says there are 10 properties, 10 for rent on daft.ie in County Kilkenny. Yet there are 62 available on Airbnb. Rental prices are crazy, terrific value and unaffordable for most families. That's a problem. I mean, Airbnb, this wasn't part of the plan. You see, this is what happens constantly. Something new creeps in and we don't have a system to build with it. Airbnb is an example of that. People don't want to live on busy streets, says another listener, where the noise from traffic, shoppers and pubs and restaurants filter into your homes if the windows are open even a crack. Also, living on the street means you've no open space of your own. Very difficult if you have kids. It's not for everybody, though.
It's not, but the alternative is a very long commute from the far side of Kinnegad or Carlow up to Dublin, and that's a very early start in the morning and a very long commute home as well if you're living in Dublin. So if you want to live and work in the city, you probably have to compromise in one way or another, and one of it might be that you have to put up with the noise that comes with the city. Mm. I mean, nobody complains about the noise in New York, for example, because they just associate it with New York.
And maybe just have, if they put better windows in when they're redoing it, yeah. It might help. I'm a bricklayer from Kilkenny. A big problem, a lot of my fellow tradesmen have emigrated and taken jobs in factories, getting much better wages and conditions than I get. I'm struggling to get a decent week's wage, and until that's addressed, the builders will struggle to get tradesmen for all these new bills. I can tell you the boom is limited to Dublin, unfortunately. No doubt that is something else that will be discussed at the conference tomorrow for the Housing Agency. Director of Research with said agency, David Silk, and Urban Economics and Demographic Consultant Brian Hughes. Thank you both very much for coming in to talk to us on the Pat Kenny Show.